by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome back to our program, Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, back again with a new program, new topic, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, new verses of the Quran. So I hope you can stay with me during the whole program. We've got the daily reminder, we've got the daily hadith as well, and we've also got a very beautiful manqabat as well, praise of Sayyidina Ghawth Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. So please don't go anywhere, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, not only enjoy the program, but there'll be so many beautiful things that we shall be learning today. And also a very important topic, inshallah Azza wa Jal, will tell you what the topic is later on today, inshallah. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, without any delay, let's start with a beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ
اے غیب کی خبریں بتانے والے نبی اللہ کا یوں ہی خوف رکھنا اور کافروں اور منافقوں کی نہ سننا
اِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا
بے شک اللہ علم و حکمت والا ہے
واتبع ما يوحى إليك من ربك
اور اس کی پیروی رکھنا جو تمہارے رب کی طرف سے تمہیں وحی ہوتی ہے
ان اللہ كان بما تعملون خبيرا
اے لوگو اللہ تمہارے کام دیکھ رہا ہے
وتوکل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا
اور اے محبوب تم اللہ پر بھروسہ رکھو اور اللہ بس یعنی کافی ہے کام بنانے والا
ما جعل اللہ لرجل من قلبین فی جوفہ
اللہ نے کسی آدمی کے اندر دو دل نہ رکھے
وما جعل ازواجکم اللائی تظاہرون منہن امہاتکم
اور تمہاری ان عورتوں کو جنہیں تم ماں کے برابر کہہ دو تمہاری ماں نہ بنایا
وما جعل ادعیاءکم ابناءکم
اور نہ تمہارے لے پالکوں کو تمہارا بیٹا بنایا
ذالکم قولکم بافواہکم واللہ یقول الحق وهو یهدی السبیل
یہ تمہارے اپنے منہ کا کہنا ہے اور اللہ حق فرماتا ہے اور وہی راہ دکھاتا ہے
ادعوہم لآبائہم ہوا اقسط عند اللہ
انہیں ان کے باپ ہی کا کہہ کر پکارو یہ اللہ کے نزدیک زیادہ ٹھیک ہے
فَإِن لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا آبَاءَهُمْ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَمَوَالِيكُمْ
پھر اگر تمہیں ان کے باپ معلوم نہ ہوں تو دین میں تمہارے بھائی ہیں اور بشریت میں تمہارے چچا زاد
وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ فِيمَا أَخْطَأْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَكِنْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا
اور تم پر اس میں کچھ گناہ نہیں جو نادانستہ تم سے صادر ہوا ہاں وہ گناہ ہے جو دل کے قصد سے کرو اور اللہ بخشنے والا مہربان ہے۔
النبی اولا بالمؤمنین من انفسهم وازواجه امہاتهم،
یہ نبی مسلمانوں کا ان کی جان سے زیادہ مالک ہے اور اس کی بیبیاں ان کی مائیں ہیں۔
وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ إِلَّا أَن تَفْعَلُوا إِلَى أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ معروفا كان ذلك في الكتاب مسطورا۔
اور رشتے والے اللہ کی کتاب میں ایک دوسرے سے زیادہ قریب ہیں بنسبت اور مسلمانوں اور مہاجروں کے، مگر یہ کہ تم اپنے دوستوں پر کوئی احسان کرو، یہ کتاب میں لکھا ہے۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم۔ ماشاءاللہ، سورہ احزاب verse 1 to 6, alhamdulillah, we just listened to with the translation, and it just really does open your mind and your heart, and alhamdulillah, you know, especially when you understand what the Quran is telling you, what the word of Allah Azza wa Jal is, or what we can say, what is the message from our Rabb Azza wa Jal. Now, many of us who can't read the Quran, obviously will not know what the message of Allah is because we haven't read it. Now, if we're reading it, but we don't understand it, we're still in the same boat because we don't understand. Now, it's very, very important that we understand the message of Allah. Just imagine if someone was to send you an email, you don't understand that email. What is the purpose of us receiving that email? It's the purpose of the person sending it. There is a purpose behind it. But because we can't read it, what's the purpose of receiving it? So what we need to do is we need to understand the Quran. For that, we only need to give half an hour a day, you know, where we have 24 hours, where we have full sleep, where we work full time, we give time to our family as well. Can we not give 1 hour every day just to learn and understand the Quran? Just sit down with an alim ad-din, a scholar of Islam, Muballigh, and just read Siratul Jinan. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Siratul Jinan, I think is so many, even now we're going up to Suratul Ahzab. So just imagine, you know, all of these pares up to Suratul Ahzab, they're all being recorded in Urdu language. But alhamdulillah, if you understand English, then just sit with someone. The Quran, at least the translation, Kanzul Iman, is available. You know, it's available on the website of Dawat Islami. You can download it, Siratul Jinan. Once you download Siratul Jinan, you can also read the translation of Kanzul Iman in English. So it's there for us. What we need to do is we need to take some time out of our very, very busy schedule. I don't think it's that busy, to be honest with you. All we need to do is make our mindset. Yeh zehn ban gaya na. Once this mindset is made, then things will become easy. Nowadays, we think it's too hard. I can't get the time. I'm very busy. I'm this, I'm that. All these lame excuses, how long are we going to make them for? I can make time for my friend. You know, you see a lot of people sometimes when you ask them to come to the masjid to offer their salah. Oh, ki kapde na paak, my clothes aren't clean. Yeah, but the same, if someone invites them, let's go for a meal, you know, down Manchester or Bradford, yeah? And what people will say is, oh, just give me a few minutes, let me change my clothes. So when it's time to go and chill out with your mates, you've got plenty of time, we'll do everything. Mindset is already made. Yeah, but when it comes to the deen of Islam, when it comes to our future, our grave, our hereafter, we believe in all of these things, we know these things are happening, we know we are going to die one day, but we're not preparing for it. It's like someone who wants to go to the airport. Nowadays, you know, you've got to check in online. And I know people, you know, they try to check in online. Why? Because they can save £55. Yeah, £55. If you don't check in online in some of the, you know, the private airlines, you know, they charge you £55 for checking in at the airport. So you've got to check in online to save that money. Will anyone forget? Maybe first time. You know, you've forgotten. But next time, I guarantee you, next time when you are flying, you're going to check in online so that you can save that 55 pounds. So when it comes to the dunya, we're ready to do anything. We're all aware. We're always alert. But when it comes to the deen, we're relaxed. Oh, theek hai, main itna sakht thoda deen. You know, maulviyan bahut sakht banaya hua. Yeah, these kind of words, we're just making a fool of our own selves. So please, inshallah, azawajal, let's make a firm intention to read the Quran and to understand the Quran, inshallah. Now let's go towards the beautiful kalam, and then we'll come back for the topic, and inshallah we'll try to discuss the topic as well. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Aqa bulalo Madine. آقا بلالو مدینے گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی آ کر کروں روتے ہوئے کعبے کا میں طواف آ کر کروں روتے ہوئے کعبے کا میں طواف مکے کے جلوے پھر دکھائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں کی عبادت کی مجھے توفیق چاہیے رب کی عبادت کی مجھے توفیق چاہیے فرمائیے حق سے دعائیں آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی آقا بلالو مدینے آقا بلالو مدینے آقا بلالو مدینے آقا بلالو مدینے باداب کے ہرگز نہ آئے گا نبی نیا باداب کے ہرگز نہ آئے گا نبی نیا واللہ ایمان ہے میرا اے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی آقا سنگری جانیوں کے روبرو ہو کاش آقا سنگری جانیوں کے روبرو ہو کاش ایمان پہ میرا خاتمہ اے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میرے مدینے میں شفاعت کی مجھے خیرات خیر سے دے دے شفاعت کی مجھے خیرات خیر سے روز قیامت بخشوائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی
آقا بلالو مدینے آقا بلالو مدینے آقا بلالو مدینے آقا بلالو مدینے
اب وقت رحلت آ گیا عطار زار کا اب وقت رحلت آ گیا تار زار کا جلوہ دکھا کلمہ پڑھا اے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی آقا بلالو مدینے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ عزوجل, اے ویری بیوٹیفل کلام. الحمدللہ عزوجل, یہ کلام آخری نبی صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. جی, ٹوڈے الحمدللہ وی گوئنگ ٹو بی ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ دا پیرنٹس آف سیدنا غوث پاک رحمۃ اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ. ناؤ سیدنا غوث پاک رحمۃ اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ, ہی واز بورن ان ٹو اے ویری ویری فیمس اینڈ ویری ویری پائس فیملی. Not only his mom and dad, but his aunties, his uncles, they were all, mashallah, azawajal, pious people. So in return, what we need to do is, if we want our children to be pious, we need to be pious ourselves. And Sayyiduna Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, his mother's name was Fatima binte Sheikh Abdullah Soma'i rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, and her kunyat was Ummul Khair. And her laqab was Amatul Jabbar. And his father's name, Sayyid Musa. And his kunyat was Abu Salih. And his title, his laqab was Jangi Dost. And Sayyiduna Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Hasni Husaini Sayyid. Yani both of his parents were also Sayyid as well. His father, Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was a very, very pious person, a very, very God-fearing person. There's a very beautiful story about him. He says that one day, Sayyiduna Musa Jangi Dost rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and he was really, really hungry. And he was walking towards the river, and he saw an apple that was floating towards him. And he picked up the apple, and he took a bite of the apple. As soon as he took the bite of the apple, he thought to himself, hold on, this apple doesn't belong to me. Why have I eaten it? I must look for the rightful owner and I must say sorry to him. I should ask forgiveness. So he starts to follow the current of the river, and then he sees an apple tree whose branches were over the river. So he realized that no doubt this apple must have fallen from this tree. So he goes inside the garden and he asks this old man, and this old man was Hazrat Sayyidina Shaykh Abdullah Soma'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And he gave salam to him and he said to him that, are you the owner of the garden? Shaykh Abdullah Soma'i rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that, yes, this is my garden. And he goes that, I was walking near the river and I saw an apple that was flowing. Maybe this apple has fallen from your tree and I have eaten the apple without your permission. I've come here to ask for forgiveness. Now, Sayyidina Abdullah saw Ma'i rahmatullahi alayhi, when he heard this and when he saw this young man, he thought, you know, what am I seeing? What am I hearing? Who does this nowadays? You know, a wali can recognize a wali. And he thought, this person is really, really special. And he says, my son, I will only forgive you if you work for me for 12 years in my garden. And he says that, okay, if I work for you for 12 years, will you forgive me then? And he goes, yeah, we'll think about it after 12 years. So no, I'm not going to forgive you. I'm going to think about it after 12 years. So 12 years passed by. Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i rahmatullahi ta'ala, he would see this young man coming into the garden, cleaning, looking after the trees, looking after the fruit, and you know, serving him as well. And after 12 years, Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi, his father, he says that, Ya Sheikh, you said that after 12 years, you're going to think about forgiving me for the mistake that I've done. And he says that, yes, but there's another condition. The condition is that you have to marry my daughter. And she has four problems. She can't see, she can't hear, she can't hold anything with her hands, and she can't walk. These are her disabilities. So Sayyidina Abu Salih, the Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi's father, he says, I agree, I don't mind. Unless you know you forgive me, I don't mind marrying her. And Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi's father married this woman. And when he saw her the first time, you know, there was no physical disabilities. She could see, she could hear, she could walk. She could, you know, she could hold, her hands were fine. There was no disabilities at all. So he went to Abdullah Soma'i rahmatullah alayhi and he says that, Ya Sheikh, you told me that your daughter, she was deaf, dumb and blind. And she, you know, she couldn't walk, she couldn't hold anything with her hands. She had these disabilities, but there's nothing wrong with her. And Abdullah Soma'i rahmatullah alayhi, he says, my son, why I said my daughter was blind? Because she's not seen anything against the Sharia. Why I said my daughter was, she couldn't speak because she's never said anything against the Sharia. Why I said she couldn't hold things is because she's never done anything wrong with her hands. And why I said that my daughter could not walk because she has never ever walked to a place of sin. Now, my dear Islam brothers, the scholars, they say such a beautiful thing. The scholars, they say, if you have a mother like Fatima, and if you have a father like Abu Saleh Musa Jangi Dost rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, then why would you not have a child like Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi? So now here, there's so many things that we need to understand from this story. Number one is, if we want our children to be pious, to be God-fearing, to be respectful, then we need to be the same. You know, it's going to pass on with the blood, isn't it? As they say, you know, these things, they pass on with generations. They pass on with the lineage. The blood is passed on. So if I want my son to become a God-fearing person, a pious person, someone who will respect the elders and respect me as well, then I've got to do the same as well. If I want him to offer his salah, if I want him to read the Quran, I've got to do it myself. If I don't act upon the deen myself, how can I expect my children to do the same? If I've never read the Quran myself, do you think that your children will read the Quran? Maybe some people will say that, I don't know how to read it, but my son does. Even though it's nothing good, nothing to be proud of, that I don't know, my son does. You know, the thing is, we as Muslims should be able to read the Quran. If we are spending money and time and effort on our children to read the Quran, why can't we spend that time and effort on ourselves? They are going to go into their own graves. They're going to be judged by Allah Azza wa Jalla according to their own actions. I will be judged according to my own actions. And if my actions are that I can't take time out to learn about my deen, I can't take time out to do this, to act upon my deen, then what am I going to reply to Allah? When the angel of death comes to me, how am I going to give my soul back to him? When I'm buried inside the grave and the munkar nakir, they come inside the grave and they ask me the questions, how am I going to answer them? So everyone is for themselves really. Yeah, we can support each other, we can help each other, but at the end of the time, we are all, you know, we're all going to be, you know, asked the questions separately. And every man is for himself. Are we ready for that? You know, so again, you know, a lot of people sometimes, you know, I was talking to a father who was really worried, genuinely worried about his children. That, you know, my children, I don't know, they're not respectful to me. They don't answer me. We're always having arguments. They're 15, 16 years old. They're always, you know, out of the house. You know, the thing is, how did you live your youth? And he replied, to be honest with you, I was the same. So if you were the same as your son and daughter, and now they're doing that, why are you bothered for? Why are you worried for? Because you did the same as well. But now you do realize that, don't you? That you were wrong. Now it's time to, you know, teach our own children. So therefore, it's very, very important, vital for those parents, especially who are watching this program, and you have younger children, you have teenagers. Now it's time that, you know, we brought them up according to the sunnah, according to the deen, not the dunya, not to the latest fashions, not to the latest, you know, so wood and this wood and that wood. I'm not even mentioning the first words. Yes, the film actors, you know, songwriters and ma'azallah, music and all that kind of stuff. If you bring them up according to that, they're going to deviate from the deen. They're going to move away from the deen. And as a father, as a mother, you will be asked on the day of judgment. Yeah, why did you not tell your parents? Why children? Why did you not tell them off? Now you are telling them off, but they're not listening to you. Yeah, because they're old enough to understand. And what they understand is, if we are doing wrong, then why was dad doing the same? Yeah, Al-Husaydina Ghawse Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he was 5 years old when he went to the madrasa first time. And when Qari Sahib said to him, son, read. And he read from Bismillah to 18 pare. He was hafiz of 18 pare even before he joined the madrasa. So that's where the tarbiyat starts from, the lap. That's why they say from cradle to the grave. Yeah, it's from cradle to the grave, they need to learn knowledge. And if Ghawse Pak Rahmatullahi Alayhi became a hafiz of the 18 pare, it was because of his mother. If he became a God-fearing person, if he became someone who will fulfill the huququl ibad of people, that was because of his father. Because his father was the same as well. Now here, I just wanted to talk about huququl ibad. Huququl ibad are the rights of people. They are very, very important. You know, I've seen people like, you know, Ghawse Pak Rahmatullah Alayhi's father, just one bite of an apple, he went to ask for forgiveness. Today we do anything, you know, like I've got a plate here of nuts and biscuits. Sometimes, you know, you'll have these nuts and biscuits. People will be selling them in their shops, in a grape fruit shop especially. People will go, they are, Aji, kya rate hai? What's the rate for the nuts? Yeah, how the almonds, how much are they for? They'll take a snap away and they'll start eating the almonds. You haven't even asked permission to eat them. They're at a fruit seller's shop and they've got the grapes there. Aji, kya rate laya bhai? And they'll be there eating the grapes. Who told you to eat them? No one gave you permission. I saw this in Medina Sharif once, that a couple of women, they walked inside a date shop. And the shopkeeper, they were asking her, oh, how much is this for? How much are these for? How much are these for? And each time they were asking about the dates, they were picking them up and they were eating them. And the shop said, you know, the keeper, he says to him, you're asking me about the price. You've already eaten 1 kilo of kajur. What do you want to? You're not going to buy anything. Just get out of here. Yeah. And that is guna. That is huququl ibad. We have to give account to Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment. And then nowadays people, you know, they owe money to people. But how many times have they even thought to themselves that I've got to return that money back? They might be buying products. They might be going into a shop, bought something. Oh, janab, kal de yur, so put it on tick, yeah? I'll pay you later. It's been years. And I know people, they ring me up. So-and-so came to my jewelry shop. He bought gold of me. They haven't even paid me back for that. So-and-so persons come to my bookshop. They bought some books of me. They haven't even paid for that. So-and-so person came to my shop, bought carpet, bought some sofa, mattresses. They haven't even paid for them. Now, this is very, very important. As Muslims, we are going to be answerable to Allah on the day of judgment. And not only Allah, huququl ibad is something, if you do not pay up or ask for forgiveness from that person, you're going to be held responsible on the day of judgment as well. And then also, you know, you're not invited to a wedding. People gatecrash, don't they? You know, like, oh, khairi, I know, I've got inside contacts. Yeah, and they'll gatecrash into a wedding. They'll gatecrash into someone's parties. And, you know, they're not invited. But yeah, they know that no one knows me there. Chalo ji, khair, yeah, let's chip in, let's go inside. That is wrong as well. In the same way as well, selling land. And I've seen this many times. This land has been sold many times. People are so, you know, they say hard-hearted that they'll sell the land that even doesn't even belong to them as well. And these are very, very, you know, people, they don't have the fear of Allah anymore. They don't have the fear of Allah. Nothing, you know, the people will borrow something, they'll never return it back. Even like a pen, they might borrow a pen from someone, they deliberately put in their pocket and they'll walk off. Yeah, one Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from Medina, he traveled to Damascus. As he reached Damascus, you know, he was going to write something. And he borrowed a pen tip from someone to write it. And then by mistake, he brought it with him. As he reached back to Medina, he realized, oh my God, what have I done? I've brought someone's pen with me. He went back to Damascus to give that pen back to him. That's what you call fear of Allah. Aajkal, janab, you know, so many money that we owe people, hazaru, thousands of pounds we owe people. And then bichare come up to us, you know, please give owe me money. Tumhi abare dar dena. Oh, you're not there, your son. Then when they ask me a few times, yeah, you're going to force me to pay you. Yeah, I don't have it. What are you going to do about it? You think that you're going to get away with that? Fool. You know, you think you're going to get away by saying or by making, you know, by threatening him that I'm not going to pay you money back. Go wherever you want. No, they're not paying. So, kya karse? Oh, kya karse? Kuch bhi nahi karna. Bechara chup ho jaisi. But on the day of judgment, you'll realize what you've done. So remember, haqooqul ibad are very, very important. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, who will be the poor person on the day of judgment? Muflis kaun hai? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba ikram, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a muflis, a poor person, is the one who doesn't have dirham with him. He doesn't have gold or silver. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, no, aisa nahi hai. Muflis will be the one that will, on the day of judgment, bring salah, fasting, hajj, zakat, but nothing will come into his use. Why? Because he swore at someone. He lied to someone. He hit someone. He threatened someone. He made someone feel scared. So his salah, his fasting, his reading the Quran, his hajj, his zakat, all the reward that he gained from all of this ibadat will be slowly distributed amongst all the people that he wronged, he did wrong to. Now just imagine, on the day of judgment, how are we going to feel? How are we going to be showing our face to Allah Azza wa Jal? So remember, it's very, very important. At the end of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, he will be thrown into the fire of hell because of the sins of other people. Because when all the good deeds of his are running out, there's got no good deeds left anymore. So what's going to happen is their sins will be given to this person. So because of other people's sin, this person will fall into the fire of hell. In another place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Tum log hukuk haq walu ke sapurd kar do." You know, whatever rights that you owe to people, return it back to them. Hatta ke be seeing wali ka seeing wali bakri se badla liya jayega. A goat that was hit by a goat with horns, she will take revenge on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Sayyiduna Abu Musa Saleh Jangi Dost Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, MashaAllah, the father of Sayyiduna Ghothi Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. He had the passion of Neki ki Dawad. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran, we are the best of the ummas because we invite towards good. And the taqwa and the fear of ummat, fear ghame ummat that Sayyiduna Abu Musa Saleh Jangi Dost Rahmatullahi Alayhi had. He once saw the king and his servants, they were carrying barrels of wine, of alcohol. And when he found out, he broke them all. And there was alcohol everywhere. And when the king found out, he called Musa Saleh Jangi Dost Rahmatullahi Alayhi, go and bring him to me. So when he went there, the king said to him, why did you break the barrels of wine? You know, my servants were carrying. He goes, because I have a duty. Yeah, I have a duty. I've been given a duty. And he goes, who gave you this duty? And he says, the one who made you the king gave me the duty as well. And the king started to tremble. He fell onto his feet and he says that, please forgive me. Go and carry on. And then he said to him that, I'm going to give you a status in my government. You could be an advisor. You know, you could be the one, a judge. And he says, why shall I accept your invitation when Allah's already given me that status as a warner, you know, as a muballigh, as a warner, as someone who invites towards goodness. So subhanAllah, even at that time, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, we should be doing the same. People are committing sins in front of us. People are, ma'azallah, doing so many bad things, yet they'll be doing it in front of us, but we won't have that power. Sometimes say, oh, jay, make it, huh? Ma'akulta ilmi koni, I don't have knowledge. Yeah, who told you not to have knowledge? Alhamdulillah, is something that you should achieve, something that you should have. You know, not everyone can become a scholar. Not everyone can become an alim adeen. But we are all muballighs of Islam. We are all answerable to Allah on the day of judgment. We have a duty of care for the Muslim ummah. We have a duty as Muslims. We are muballighs as well. Allah mentions in the Quran that you be part of a group, or be a group that invites towards goodness and forbids evil. Yeah, so alhamdulillah, you know, even if someone doesn't make me the judge, I am still a ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And as a Muslim, it is my duty. No one gave me that duty. It is my duty that I need to start to make sure that I do good things as well. Now, in the same way, so many blessings, so many glad tidings of those people who invite towards good as well. Another very beautiful thing, when a Muslim brother meets his brother, one has a smile on his face, muskurata hai, uske liye sadaqa hai, it is a charity for him. Aur neki ki daawat dena aur burai se mana karna bhi sadaqa hai. So it is also a charity. In the same way, subhanallah, we can do so many things. We could help the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in so many ways that we could help the ummah. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullah alayhi, we're talking about his family, and we're talking about not only his parents, but I want to just expand that as well, you know, to his own family as well. Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullah alayhi, he says, alhamdulillah, in my time, according to my bayans, the bayans that he did, the speeches that he did, he says 500 people accepted Islam, and more than 100,000 robbers, stealers, fusako, fujar, sinners, and you know, bad people have just done tawbah. And he says, subhanallah, Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullah alayhi, most of his time in his life, he was 90 years old when he passed away. So in them, you know, we could say that for the first 20 years he's been gaining knowledge. But after that, for 30 years, Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullah alayhi taught people about the deen. And then 40 years of his life he spent doing speeches. And subhanallah, what a beautiful story about him doing the bayans, doing the speeches. You know, because he was not an Arab, he was born in Jilan, he was a non-Arab. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came into his dream. And he says that, my son, why do you not do speeches? And he goes that, because I'm not an Arab, you know, how can I speak eloquent in Arabic in front of those Arabs? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, open your mouth. So he opened his mouth, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his blessed saliva in his mouth 7 times. And he says, go and do speeches. The next night he had this another dream, and in the dream he saw his grandfather, Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. And he says the same as well, why do you not do speeches, my son? He goes that, because I'm not an Arab, you know, and he puts 6 times saliva in his mouth. And subhanAllah, and he says, go my son, now do the speech because of the blessing of the saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allah will put barakat in your tongue. He will put barakat in your voice. And the scholars, they say that there were not less than 1,000, 50,000 people, 80,000 people in the, you know, the ijtimaz of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullah alayhi. The gatherings used to be so huge. And when he would talk, the people who were sat in the front, they could hear the same, and the people at the back could hear the same as well. We need mics, don't we? Yeah, we need mics, we need cameras, you know, for our voice to reach anywhere. But Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, one of his karamat, his miracle was that he did not need a mic. His saintly miracle is that his voice would reach to the back as well. And people would accept Islam. People would, alhamdulillah, learn so much knowledge from Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. The tafsir of the Quran, one day he was doing the bayan, and the knowledge that Allah Ta'ala Azza wa Jal gave him, a person, a scholar that was sat, you know, when every time Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak Rahmatullah Ali would tell them a commentary of the Quran, he said, I know that, I know that, I know that. When they went up to about a few times, I don't know exactly how much number it was, but then Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak Rahmatullah Ali started, he goes, I don't know that, I don't know that. And he says, I know many, many commentaries regarding that as well. So where the knowledge of the normal scholars finished, that's where Ghawth-e Pak's knowledge started from. Subhanallah. And Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak Rahmatullah Ali's whole family, you can say his whole clan, they are very, very pious people. They were known as the Sharif family, the Ashraf family, because they were so pious, alhamdulillah. Now, in some countries like in Tunisia where we went, the Ashraf, the Sharifs are the ones who are the Sa'adat-e-Kiram. Alhamdulillah, we went to a village, and I was told that all the village are Sharif. Yani they are all, mashallah, Azza wa Jal, Sadat-e-Kiram. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak's parents, his uncles, his aunts, his children, every single one of them was a Wali Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. And that is why you get the blessing. So, you know, you might be asking, how can everyone become a Wali? You know, because every one of them was, mashallah, a scholar of deen. Every one of them had the knowledge of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when you have the knowledge and you act upon that knowledge, Allah Azza wa Jal gives you that status. Allah puts that love of yours into the heart of people. That's why people start loving you. You know, he says that when a person is God-fearing, he has the knowledge of Allah. And when Allah loves him, he says to Jibreel, I love him, you love him as well. And tell the people to love him as well. So Allah puts that love of you in the hearts of these people. That's why they come and they start to love you. They start to respect you. You know, it's because of Allah. Never ever think to yourself, it's a shaitanic whisper. It's a satanic whisper that I've reached to that status because of my knowledge. Janab, mera apna mek ilm hai, akal hai mare ko. Who gave you the akal? Lala, ye akal diti kus hai. The akal was given to you by Allah. The akal, the knowledge that you have given, Allah is the one that gave you this knowledge as well. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, his mother, she was a very, very pious woman, like we heard in the opening story, you know, that she'd never seen anything against Sharia. She's never said anything against Sharia. She's never walked to a place of sin. She's never held anything which is sinful. And she was a Wali Allah herself as well. So if you have a Wali as a father, a Waliya as a mother, then why would you not have a Wali or a Waliya as the parents? Now remember, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, we will be asked about our children on the day of judgment. So it's very, very important that we do become pious ourselves. Each and every one of us will be asked regarding our children. There is a very famous verse inside the glorious Quran, para number 28, Surah Al-Tahrim, verse number 6, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ ترجمہ کنز الایمان اے ایمان والو او بیلیورز اپنی جانوں اور اپنے گھر والوں کو اس آگ سے بچاؤ سیو یور سیلفز اینڈ یور فیملی فرام دیٹ فائر جس کے ایندھن ہوز فیول آدمی اور پتھر ہیں شیل بی ہیومنز اینڈ سٹونز سیو یور سیلف. So that begs the question, how can we save ourselves? Kis tarah bachayein us aag se? How we need to save ourselves is that we need to make sure that we offer our salah. We need to make sure that we read the Quran. We need to make sure that we act upon the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sometimes parents, they come up and they say, my son doesn't listen to me. My daughter, they've rebelled against me. Mari koi gal nahi bujhne, I'm fed up with them. Please tell me to do something. And you ask them, Haji sahab or Haji Mashallah Chaudhary sahab, whoever you are, do you read your salah? Do you offer your salah? Well, when I get the time, yeah, I do, but I'll be honest with you, I don't really. So we in return do not listen to the commands of Allah. We do not follow the commands of Allah. We don't listen to the commands of Allah. We don't act upon them. Why would our children listen to us? Why would they act upon the sayings that we told them? Why? You know, they obviously, when we are not following Allah, why would they follow us as well? What goes around comes around. We need to remember that we need to be practicing Muslims. That is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that has been quoted in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Tum sab apne muta'alliqeen ke sardar aur hakim ho." All those people who are under you are their leader. Aur tum sab roze qiyamat uski ra'iyat ke bare mein poocha jayega. You will be asked about your subjects. You will be asked about your people. Is hadith paak ke tahat Shahre Bukhari farmate hain, رعیت سے مراد وہ ہے جو کسی کی نگہبانی میں ہو. All those people, if you are a manager at a place, all those people, workers that are working under you, you are going to be asked about them as well. At home, you are the leader of the family, you'll be asked about your wife, you'll be asked about your children on the day of judgment because they are working under you. If you are a boss, if you are the owner of a company and you have, you know, employees, on the day of judgment, you know, forget the government asking you about the employees. You'll be asked about your employees on the day of judgment. So make sure that we have an answer ready that we can say to Allah Azza wa Jalla that, Ya Allah, yes, these were my people and I started and I've done so much for them as well. Now, an example of bringing up your children. But before I go into that, let's go and listen to the daily reminder for today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Hanbali radiyallahu ta'ala, a great saint of Islam, a great example for us to all follow. And when we study his life, his achievements, his struggles, his sacrifices, subhanAllah, we become aware of why he is so renowned in the Islamic world today, why he is respected so highly by people. And the simple answer to that is that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiyallahu an bowed his head before Allah alone. He did not compromise when it came to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commands found in the Quran. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him such superiority, such fame, such renown in the world. People who never met him, people who never sat with him, subhanallah, love him so dearly. He rules their hearts. In his lifetime, he wasn't a king of an area, but 1,000 years later, he's the king of the people's hearts. Now people are willing to do anything for Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala. Which shows that if you are sincere and your servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true, then insha'Allah ta'ala what will happen? Allah jalla wa ala will make your love enter the hearts of the people. Do everything for Allah. This is what we learn from the life of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala. And the moment you turn away from this, you do things for people, then know that that's when your days are numbered. That's when you will go downhill and you will lose that respect and honor that people have for you. So we should always do things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, as He is the one who will grant us reward.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are watching our program Rise and Shine. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. We've got a very beautiful topic about the parents of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. There's a very beautiful story of how the tarbiyat was given to Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak as a child. How he was groomed, how he was brought up by his parents. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi alayhi, mentions that it was the days of Hajj, and one day I went to the jungle and I started following a bull, and all of a sudden the bull turned around to me and says, Ya Abdul Qadir, ma li hadha khuliqta? Oh Abdul Qadir, you were not born for these kind of things. You know, where other children were following her. You know, like you have sometimes a bull, you know, in the olden days, now even in Pakistan, in many places, you don't have that anymore. But you had an animal and kids were chasing it in the streets. And Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the bull stopped, turned around and says, Abdul Qadir, you were not created for that. So he got so worried, so scared that he went back home and he says to his mother that I want to go in the path of Allah to Baghdad. I want to gain the knowledge of Islam. Baghdad was the city of knowledge at that time. Many, many people, even from Europe, people used to go to Baghdad to gain knowledge because it was at a peak, at its peak at that time. And Huzur Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he reached there. And during his time as a student of Islam, so many things that he went through. You know, just imagine, you know, he went through a time where there was a famine in Baghdad. People could not afford to eat food. Nowadays, if I don't get my burger and chips and my pizzas, you know, I'm not going to go. Yeah, you know, the food isn't good. Ghawse Pak Rahmatullah Ali, the scholars, they write, for 25 years or more, he spent in the jungle eating the leaves of the trees just to stay alive. Just to stay alive, he ate the leaves of the trees. Now, that's what you call passion for the deen. Passion for the knowledge of Islam. We don't sadly have that passion today. You know, but Piyar Islam Bhaiyo, what we need to understand is we need to start to learn the deen of Islam. From a tender age, we should start to teach our children. When they come back home, what should they say? Hello, hi, I'm home. Yeah, that's not what I need to say. I need to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You need to teach that to the children. When you go out, teach them, give salam again. Yeah, you can say Khuda Hafiz or, you know, Allah Rabraka, Allah Raziz, whatever, later on. But first of all, say salam. Read the dua when you leave the home. When you come back home, read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and walk inside. You know, act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they sit down to eat, make sure they eat with the right hand, because children sometimes tend to eat with the left hand. There's no sin in that. But as parents, we need to rectify them in a beautiful manner. He said, "Oh, kabhi khana no marsoon, eat with the right hand." No, like that. With passion, with love. Please eat with the right hand, my son. Eat with the right hand, and inshallah, azawajal, they'll learn and they'll act upon that as well. And the way that you teach them, the way you come across to them, that is very, very important as well. Don't come across with them in a harsh manner. If they've done something wrong, don't shout at them. Don't scold them. Don't make them fearful of you. Make them as your best friends. Your son, your daughter should be your best friend. Rather than them going elsewhere and asking other people or going onto the internet to find out solutions or to find out answers for the questions they've got in their minds, they should be asking you. You should be next to your friends and you should have your children and you should be asking them. And they should be asking you regarding the questions of deen. Many of the time, you know, the parents, they don't have that bonding with their children. The bonding is so weak. That is why children are so distant from their parents. Yeah, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala, you know, he was young when his father passed away. And he was young when he left his mother. So that parenting wasn't there for him. But, you know, them 18 years that he stayed with his mom, you know, she was the one that groomed him to what he was. So always remember, you know, your child, what he grows up to be. I know I've read so many interviews of, you know, serial killers. I've read interviews of murderers, of robbers, of those people who were bad, you know, bad influence in the community. And majority of them, you know what they say? It's because we had a bad upbringing. We had a really, you know, tough childhood. We were never, you know, given that love from our parents. And because of they were not given that love to them from their parents, that's why they've ended up being serial killers. Okay, you know, they've got brain to understand as well. But that grooming, if that wasn't right, then at the end of the day, you're going to have that as well. How can you say to your son, you know, don't smoke when you're smoking yourself? How can you say to your son, don't go to a bad place when you're going there as well? How can you say to your son now that don't listen to music when you are listening to music? How can you say to your son, don't flirt with women? Yeah, don't flirt with girls. The girls, don't flirt with boys when you are doing the same as well. To sana apna kirdar hi hai jya. How are you going to make sure your son don't do that? Your daughters don't do that. Very important. As Muslims, we need to understand the way we are now with our children is going to affect them when they grow up. And alhamdulillah, I've met parents that are giving time when their children come back from school. They'll make sure, they'll ask them, "My putar, what did you learn today in school? What did you do? What's your homework? Can you finish your homework?" And there are some children who don't even do their homework. They'll go back to the madrasa, they'll go back to school, and when the teachers ask them, "On the weekend, did you do your homework?" "Oh, no, miss, I had to do this, I was ill." They're going to lie. Why? Because they've seen mom and dad lie at home. Yeah, when someone's knocking on the door for chanda, for donation for the masjid, yeah, the son will open the door and the father will say, "Oh, tell him I'm not at home." And that son's going to say, "Oh, my father said I'm not at home." It's happened. It's happened. So we are teaching them to lie, yet we want them to not to lie to us. We are teaching them to do bad things, yet we want them not to do bad things. It's just how, you know, what kind of a logic are we acting upon? You know, what kaisa mantik hai ki we're doing wrong ourselves, but we expect them to do good. Yeah, you don't go to a field and you sow seeds of an apple tree. You don't expect mangoes to grow from there, do you? You know, you've got a banana tree. You don't expect apples to grow on that banana tree. It doesn't work. Khujura na darakht la sa. Beej kera boya, sebe na darakht. Ye kya wajah? Khujur ko ne lage. Lala, khujur kisra lagan? Sebe na darakht la. You pour an apple tree. What do you expect to get dates from there? So you are, you know, what kind of a seed are you putting into your son or daughter? You're putting a seed of sin and you expect them to do good. You know, you are putting the seed of them committing sins, are going against the commands of Allah, and you want them to become a pious wali Allah. Aapu maaf na karne, we don't forgive people. You know, you're sat in your family and you're talking about, "Oh, gee, for fulan isra kita, kada na maaf karne." Never ever do that. And then when they make dua, "Ya Allah, miki maaf kariyori." How will, you know, kya banda soch raha? What are you thinking? You are asking Allah to forgive you, but you're not ready to forgive the third person. You are asking Allah to make your son a pious person, but you are not even trying to become a pious person yourself. Theek hai, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mashallah, his shan is that he can, you know, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam grew up in the home of Fir'aun. Mashallah, he was a prophet of Allah. You know, so many people like that as well. You know, so many awliya Allah, they were born into a family of non-Muslims. Yet when they grew up, mashallah, they become Muslims and they became one of the greatest wali of their time. So it happens. Allah Ta'ala, you know, miracles can happen. Allah can do anything He wants. But the thing is, let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we've got to give a bit of time and effort. We've got the daily hadith. Let's listen to the daily hadith. And then we'll also go a kalam as well about the manqabat of Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi alayh. We'll learn that as well, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The final Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم once received news that a well-known warrior hailing from Najd, modern-day Riyadh, by the name of Du'athar. His full name was Du'athar bin Harith Muharabi. He was not yet Muslim at this time. Now, he had prepared an army to attack Madinatul Munawwara. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam set off with his own army of 400 companions to face them. When Du'athar came to know that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had already entered the city, he hurried forth and climbed the mountains with his army. Now, during this time, an individual from his army known as Habban was captured and went on to accept Islam in the prophetic court. It just so happened to rain heavily on that day. So the Prophet began drying his clothes near a tree. The non-Muslims observed from the peaks of the mountains, finding the companions occupied in their own work and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by himself. They began to rouse Du'athar to attack the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the former began to say, "If I am unable to kill Muhammad, na'udhu billah, then may Allah kill me." He raised his sword above the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's head and asked, "Who will save you from me now?" The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah, replied, Allah will save me from you. As soon as this was said, the archangel Jibreel alayhi salam descended and struck Du'far on the chest with such force that he fell over. And what happened when he fell over? The sword fell from his hands. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately took hold of the sword and asked, now who will save you from me? Du'far responded, nobody can save me from you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah, we call him the Rasul of Rahmah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam felt sympathy for his helplessness. Subhanallah. Not only did he forgive Du'far, but he also returned his sword. Now if there was an enemy and they were trying to attack us and we got hold of their weapons, we wouldn't necessarily give them back. But subhanallah, this is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Du'far was deeply impressed and inspired by the noble character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He then recited the kalima and became a Muslim at that very moment. He proceeded to return to his people and began inviting them to Islam. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, the mercy and the compassion that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned a person who was not a Muslim into accepting the kalima, into accepting Islam, and then not only that, but preaching it to his tribe. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, we're learning about the beautiful life of the parents of Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. If you just join us, welcome to our program. We're talking about the upbringing of children. One of the most important things that Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi alayhi was taught when he was a child was never to lie. You know, it's a very important story when he asked permission from his mother to travel to Baghdad. And on the way, you know, his mother, she sewed 40 gold coins under his arms here. And when Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was stopped by a robber. And the robbers asked him, have you got anything? When they started robbing everyone, he says, yeah, I've got 40 gold coins. And he goes, where are they? He goes, they're sewn here. So the robber takes him to the boss and the boss man says, you know, have you got 40 gold coins? And he goes, yes, I have. Where are they? They're sewn under my armpit. And he goes, you could have saved your money. Why did you tell us? And he says that when I left home, my mom said to me, son, whatever happens, whatever situation you are in, do not lie. So why shall I go against the words of my mom? So therefore, I've told you the truth. Now, one thing, if we teach our children one beautiful habit, is a habit that they should always speak the truth. Never, ever lie. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that beshak sachai neki ki taraf le jati hai. You know, truthfulness will take you or will lead you towards goodness. And goodness will lead you towards paradise. Or beshak banda sach bolta rehta hai. That no doubt a person indeed he will speak the truth and he will be written down as a siddiq in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Siddiq means the most truthful. That is also a title of Abu Bakr. Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the most truthful. Subhanallah. So what does truthful take? It'll take you to goodness. Now give you a scenario. You're driving your car, you were not wearing a seatbelt. You got flashed by the coppers, you know, you pulled onto the side and they come up to you, you wind your window down. Do you know why I stopped you? And you say, no. Why? Yeah, you didn't have your seatbelt on. No, I had my seatbelt on. I had it on. I'm sure I did. Why are you lying? Now, because of that lying, you're going to get into more trouble. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, speaking the truth saves you. If he can save you from the problems in this dunya, then speaking the truth will inshallah save us on the day of judgment as well, inshallah Azza wa Jal. The one who is who becomes habitual in speaking the truth, Allah Ta'ala use nek kar bana dega. Allah will make him a pious person. So therefore, those who speak the truth, Allah will make them a pious person. So you know that there's a saying, isn't there? If you lie once, you're going to lie 100 times to cover that lie. And so many times, their children have this habit. If you ask them, did you do this? They say, no, they didn't. Who did it? My brother did it. Who did it? He did it. Did you do your homework here? No, I didn't. Why? Because I was ill. All these lies, what happens is they get into trouble. They might get a detention from school. They might get a warning from school. They'll get into trouble at home. Again, why would that happen? It's because parents may be at home. The environment isn't a good environment. Uski aadat achhe kaam karne ki ho jati hai. The one who speaks the truth, he will have a habit of doing good things. Aur phir kya? Uski barakat se wo marte waqt nek kaam tak nek rahega. Because of the habit of speaking the truth, he will, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, die. Until he dies, he will be doing good things. He will keep away from bad things. Or Allah Azza wa Jal will write him as a Siddiq, and his khatima, his ending will be with Iman. And he will be saved from every types of punishment. And he har qism ka sawab paata, he'll get so many good deeds. And then dunya bhi usse sacha kehne, achha samajhne lagti hai. The world will think of him as a good and a pious person. And the last one, uski izzat logon ke dilon mein baith jati hai. His respect will be engraved in the hearts of people. So this is the benefit of speaking the truth. Let's go to a manqabat of Sayyidina Ghawth Pak rahmatullah alayhi, and we'll wind up the program as well, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
اے میرے میران میرے میران نظر کرم خدا را پیروں کے پیر نظر کرم خدا را روشن ضمیر نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا را سرکار غوث اعظم نظر کرم خدا را میرا خالق صبر دو میرا خالق صبر دو میں فقیر ہوں تمہارا نظر کرم خدا را اے شاہ جیلان نظر کرم خدا را اے میر میران نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا را سب کا کوئی نہ کوئی دنیا میں آسرا ہے سب کا کوئی نہ کوئی دنیا میں آسرا ہے میرا بجز تمہارے میرا بجز تمہارے سہارا نظر کرم خدا را اے میر میران نظر کرم خدا را اے پیر پیران نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا را مولا علی کا صدقہ دادا پیا کا صدقہ گنجے شکر کا صدقہ احمد رضا کا صدقہ نوری ضیا کا صدقہ مرشد پیا کا صدقہ میری لاج رکھ لو یا غوث میری لاج رکھ لو یا غوث میں
مرید ہوں تمہارا
نظر کرم خدا را
پیروں کے پیر
نظر کرم خدا را
روشن ضمیر
نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا را
جھولی ہماری بھر دو ورنہ کہے گی دنیا جھولی ہماری بھر دو ورنہ کہے گی دنیا ایسے سخی کا منگتا شاہ جینا کا منگتا پھرتا ہے مارا مارا
نظر کرم خدا را
اے شاہ جینا
نظر کرم خدا را
اے میرے میرا
نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا را
یہ عطا دستگیری کوئی میرے دل سے پوچھے یہ عطا دستگیری کوئی میرے دل سے پوچھے وہیں آ گئے مدد کو وہیں آ گئے مدد کو میں نے جب جہاں پکارا
نظر کرم خدا را
اے میرے میرا
نظر کرم خدا را
اے پیرے پیرا
نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا را
یہ تیرا کرم ہے مرشد جو بنا لیا ہے اپنا یہ تیرا کرم ہے مرشد جو بنا لیا ہے اپنا کہاں روسیا فریدی کہاں مجھ سا یہ نکما کہاں سلسلہ تمہارا
نظر کرم خدا را
پیروں کے پیر
نظر کرم خدا را
روشن ضمیر
نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا را
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاء اللہ عزوجل ویری بیوٹیفل کلام پاک الحمدللہ نظر کرم خدا را سبحان ون آف مائی فیوریٹ کلام ٹو بی انیشیٹ من کبد اور سیدنا غوث پاک رحمۃ اللہ علیہ وی اونلی گاٹ ا کپل آف منٹس سو لیٹس وائنڈ اپ آور پروگرام واٹ وی لرن ٹوڈے مائی ڈیئر اسلام برادرز از دا رول آف پیرنٹس ناؤ سیدنا غوث پاک رحمۃ اللہ علیہ ہز پیرنٹس رول واز سو بیوٹیفل دیٹ سبحان اللہ عز و جل He grew up to be a pious and a great friend of Allah and a great scholar of Islam. If we want our children to become scholars, to become pious, then we need to make sure that we become pious as well. May Allah Ta'ala reward us all. Please take care of yourselves and keep watching. Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah,
even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise.